And so they came and they saw Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. We know Christmas primarily as a birth story about that baby, but sometimes we miss that Christmas is an adoption story too. Our traditional Christmas reading from the Gospel of Luke, it gives us all the drama and detail of the birth scene, the laboring mother, the nervous father, the family out behind the inn that held no room. But the earliest words written about the birth of Jesus, they are actually also about adoption. They come from the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, where Paul writes this: "When the fullness of time had come, God sent the Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children." Now, for some of you, this is much more than a metaphor. You know the power of Paul's image in personal ways, because adoption is part of your family story. And in this season, where so much centers on pregnancy, birth, labor, and delivery, so much centered on the manger, we remember that there are so many who live without the safety of family, the assurance of home, and there are so many ways that God and God's people can come together to form a family. It was National Adoption Day last year, November 2017, when my sister Susan's family of four was formed. My sister and her husband Jeff and their then seven-year-old son Harrison, they had become the foster family for a baby girl earlier that year, and they had committed to love her fully and vulnerably until it was determined by the appropriate authorities what was best for her. And then came the news of great joy that what was best for her, what was best for all of them, was for them to become forever family. And so we all gathered and celebrated in West Palm Beach near their home. My nephew raised his arms in the courtroom as the judge made the announcement that Ruby Rose Snow, beloved of God, was their daughter, sister. She was also a niece, a cousin, a granddaughter. And the Palm Beach County Courthouse was abuzz that day as over 20 children were being formally adopted as part of a National Adoption Day recognition, which included this large party with magic and face painting, balloon animals, loads of free food and sugar for all the family and friends that had gathered there. And everyone in the building, from the security guards to the clerks to the social workers to the honorable judges themselves, everyone seemed just overwhelmed at this uncharacteristic joy that filled the courthouse, wall to wall. "It's our favorite day of the year," people said again and again as we moved from security check to cafeteria to elevator and then to the courtroom. And once it was all complete and official, out of the courtroom into the open space, our restless, pent-up children, they ran down the airy corridor with their Sunday best just untucked and unkempt. And reflexively, we did what parents do. We called after, "No, don't run!" But there was this judge walking by the other way. And he paused, and he said with this easy smile and a longing gaze, "If you don't mind, could you just let them run today?" "We never see children running here," he said. Sometimes we see it. Every now and then, at certain extraordinary moments in our lives, unrestrained joy in a setting where there has so often been grave disappointment, or hope just pent up and released in a place where we were starting to wonder if it would ever visit again. In the words of Isaiah, we see that great light that's seen among those who have dwelled in darkness. Christmas is that glimpse, and Paul calls it adoption. Because Christmas is for people who have known the deepest darkness, who have known isolation and trauma, have known so much of the old world with its old stories, the world where Caesar and his census are running things, setting the pace for your life. The world where life is spent often in fragile and difficult places, where Herod and his murderous rage render so many vulnerable and on the run. Unwed teenage mothers, nervous and stupefied fathers-to-be, sheep herders and low-wage workers, and every other person who has ever felt far from home, has ever wondered if anyone is coming for them at all. Paul says that Christmas is for you, that you are adopted, that you are home. Frederick Buechner is a favorite writer whose memoir is about home. It's titled Longing for Home, and he tells of when he was a young writer in New York. He was trying to make it in the competitive world of publishing. He wasn't doing so well. And he started going to church, to the Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church, and he recalls the minister, a wonderful preacher by the name of George A. Buttrick, telling a story on a Sunday near Christmas. As he had been leaving church, Buttrick had overheard someone on the steps asking someone else, "Are you going home for Christmas?" And Buechner remembers Buttrick peering out through his sparkling spectacles at all of those people gathered there in that great church and asking them, "Are you going home for Christmas?" And he said it in such a way that brought tears to his eyes and made it almost unnecessary for him to move on to answer his question, which was that home, finally, is in Bethlehem. It's what G.K. Chesterton called the place where God was homeless and all people are at home. Home is where Christ comes. Home is where we know once again the strong saving news that there is one who loves the world so much as to never give up on it, so much as to always come back for us, to claim us, and to remind us who we are, that we are beloved children of God. And that's why Christmas is not a birth story only. It's an adoption story. My friend Roger has taught me this. Roger is a deacon in my former church, part of the search committee that brought me there, a kind and generous friend, a faithful Christian, lives in New York as a single man near his sister Kelly, and he never imagined children as a single man who is gay. He did not expect that that was a possibility in his life, but some years ago, his sister Kelly expressed her desire to adopt a child. And Roger was supportive every step of the way. And Kelly was eventually approved as a foster parent. And then this amazing thing happened. Within days of her approval, she got a call. A mother had given birth to a son. He was one of several others that she had given birth to over the years, all of whom had been placed in homes and then adopted. Now, there had been some alcohol abuse, but would Kelly want the baby, they asked. And Kelly began immediately to rearrange her life, to welcome that baby into her home that very weekend. And Roger, who had never imagined a child, he rearranged his life too. In fact, he arranged for them to live in his apartment, and he purchased the apartment across the hall so that they could live on the same floor and together raise Jonah. All these years. Some years back, Roger reflected on the miraculous way that God formed his family. And he shared a particular story of how he was picking up third grade Jonah from the after school program, and he found him reading a book with his personal fan club, these twins, Grady and Cyrus, kindergartners a few years younger, that were just piled on Jonah's lap. They crowded together while Jonah read the Garfield comic book aloud. Roger said he'd never met these boys' father, but he walked into the after-school center that day, and the father was right there waiting too, and the father went to his kids, Grady and Cyrus, and he kissed them both. And Jonah just beamed seeing this, all of this affection, and he said to the father, "Wow, you are one lucky family." And the father quickly responded, "Well, yes, we are. And Jonah, you're part of a lucky family too." And Jonah replied, "Well, I sure am. My mom prayed for 2 years for a baby, And then God answered her prayers, and she got me. But I wasn't in her tummy. And the father didn't miss a beat. No, but you were in her heart. You know what, Jonah? Grady and Cyrus, they weren't in my tummy either, but they were in my heart. And Jonah popped up and said, "You got that right, brother." And so, brothers and sisters, siblings in the faith, know this tonight, that you have always been in the heart of God. And so let us look together toward the day when the time will be fully come and when the Spirit will be in our hearts, when all know what it means to have full rights as beloved children of God, when all people are found at home, and when all of the children can run free. And dear God, let it be. Amen.